I recently, I'm not saying I did for sure, but I might have just talked to my boyfriend, ChatGPT, about vacationing alone. Are we podcasting this time? If you're not watching this on the YouTube, you're really missing out because Jen looks wonderful. She's got cool little, what do you call that? Herringbone glasses on.
Tortoise shell.
And her hair is brushed and she's got a cute sweater on and she's wearing gold and she's wearing blush. And I'm 100% sure that if you zoom in, you will see my chin hairs because I've been fighting to stay in this game today, man. It has been a cluster of fuck.
Yeah, I can go into that, but I am wearing a lot of makeup right now, which I will go into. But first, thanks for coming to the I Mom So Hard podcast.
We're not going to complain. I'm happy to be here.
Please rate, review, and subscribe, y'all. And also, go check out imomsohard.com. We have a lot of live shows coming up. We just got back into town after a fun one.
Yep. Went to a little town called... I just keep making fun of it, not because I'm making fun of them, because of the town being called New Philadelphia, Ohio, Tuscarawas, Kent State.
Yeah.
That is like somebody naming a name on a birth certificate. And you're like, that is a lot of names.
That's not going to fit on a passport. Yeah. So, but it was fun. It was quite an adventure coming back. I do want to add, Kristen did try to finally steal a baby. We knew that was going to happen. We were at the airport.
I've never been so misunderstood in a moment in my, well, there was only one other time. And that's when I accidentally was watching something that sounded like porn. And I thought my headphones were connected, but they weren't connected. Remember? And then that was terrible. But this time was
a shared workspace.
Literally thought this guy was 100% talking to me. Well, standing next to Jen, you tell it.
So, well, we were retrieving our luggage.
Five times delayed that day. So a little.
Very long day. Little spaced out, little sleepy. And this guy was holding this adorable baby. And I was like, Kristen's going to see if he needs help managing that baby, this lone traveler guy, while he retrieves his luggage. And then she goes up to the, you know, the little roundabout thingy where the luggage is. And I meet the wife. And she's willing to hold that baby. You know, she's like, you know, it's clearly their first baby. It's an adorable baby. We talk a lot about vomit.
I'm pulling the luggage off the thing at this point. Yeah. Jen is talking to the wife.
And so the wife's like kind of standing by me. Kristen comes back. She's in front of me. And in front of her is the guy holding the baby. He turns to his wife and says, do you want to hold him? Like in the most casual, like assuming sort of way too. And Kristen goes, yeah, I will. Okay, here. Like, and had her arms out.
I put my bags down and it made perfect sense to me. This complete stranger would want me to hold his baby while he helps. It was the way he said it too. It was like so familiar. He was like, hey, do you want to hold the baby and I'll pull the luggage? I was like, yeah, sure, Brad. I got you.
Like, yeah. She was like jumping up and down and clapping. Here's the funniest part. The husband and wife, they were so in baby land. They weren't paying any attention to Kristen. But myself and the woman next to me were like peeing our pants. We were laughing so hard. And Kristen's like beet red.
I know. Jen goes, not you. And I'm like, who's she talking to? Not talking to me. That guy needs me. Not me.
Ixnay, Istin Cray. Yeah. It's the May back there. Not you.
I know. I needed to be loved in that moment. I just wanted to hold a baby. Like my only transactions were shitty texts with my kids for just being complete, so hard while we were gone.
No, I know. This is how desperate I was to hold that baby. She goes, I think he peed through his diaper and his jammies. I go, I don't care. I go, just pee. That's fine. I can't. I probably did too.
I guarantee there's two of us that have peed ourselves at that point. I just pulled luggage off of a... You know, if I effort, that's happening.
Just a little squirt or something like that. It's going to happen. So it was a long day, but we made it back and then things got longer, which I got to get into this story, but I want to talk about today because this happened to me today. I went to Ulta to buy some things that I'm out of. And this guy was very sweet that was working there. And I asked for help color matching. Let me tell you why. Because I didn't have my readers. And So I was like, I want to try this magical IT cosmetics dual. It's like a serum and a whatever, one of, like a CC cream or whatever. And it's supposed to make me look beautiful. And I feel like a road.
I know we've been rode hard, poor. Put away, yeah. Wet. We're coming into camp a little worse for wear on this one.
I feel like I could rent out space in my pores for storage for people. Like,
it's just when you've spent so much time in an airport or, and it's fast and furious and it's stressful. You just feel like right now. I mean, I'm just still in. I don't think I've showered yet. When did we get back?
I wish it were as easy as a shower, Kristen. But my neck has failed me. I like my joints have failed me. Like crucial systems in my body are like, nah, we're fucking done. Deal with it, Jen. You took us for granted forever. Now you're just gonna look like
you're so 98. Hard on yourself about this neck thing when I don't see it, but you know.
You're just
I always need readers.
Well, so this guy goes in to color match me, and I can see how hard he is trying not to touch me, you know? Like I know it was a rough morning. I know I didn't look great. There's any myriad of disgusting things going on with my skin at any given time. But I was like, oh, I'm appalling. Like I
what
got
are you talking about.
I got
I
in the car.
What do you mean? Like the guy doesn't want to touch your skin because he thinks you're dirty or because he's being a butthole.
He was not being a butthole. He was very, very sweet. But he was like, like we couldn't find the right color. And he was just trying his best. A lot of like sucking air through his teeth, you know, just like
who do you fucking think keeps the lights on, buddy?
Well, fuck yeah. I was literally just putting things into the basket just off the shelf. Which, that's a great sales technique. Okay. If you want to make your commission.
Man, I am your commission. You should be as nice to me. Slather it on. Do that dumb shit they do where they take my hand. Put the product on it, compare it to my other hand. They're like, look, this is beautiful. Oh, look, this is a lizard. And I'm like, fine, Steven, yeah. I'll buy five of them. Good for you. I hate this store. I hate this whole thing.
I will overspend in a store. No problem.
I know that when I'm tired and I mean, I could not have been a bigger bitch than I was yesterday because I'll just be honest. My kids let me down. All right. Well, I was done. In a myriad of ways. And it was the first time ever that they had to spend the night, one night alone, not alone, but you know what I mean? Colin was going to be out of town. I was going to be out of town. I said, you know, Finn is 15. Eleanor is 13. We have neighbors on all four sides. I'm like, you guys have 24 hours.
Yeah.
I've got it planned out. I've got meals ready to go. You've got groceries. You've got literally somebody at 30 feet distance at any time that you feel like you need help. There was only a couple things. I had a mom friend help me out in a solid way to get Eleanor to her musical. But I literally told my son, I go, you have one job. It's just to keep Eleanor safe. You guys can hang out, watch movies, rent, whatever. Jen, the second we got done with that conversation that I sent in text, email, and in verbiage, mm-hmm. That phone no more clicks off. And that bro is on his way to a city pool with his buddies and leaves Eleanor behind, who doesn't feel good. And she's weepy and a little, I'm like, I'm going to just. So then
that's premeditation too. Cause he had that planned.
He knew. And then I come in and the house is a hellhole. And I'm like, you guys are you're the problem. Your dad and I have been out of the equation. So now you can see the footprints of the shit that you cause when it comes to you, like just being in this house and you got to do a better job. So last night I was in a tirade and then I was upstairs and I was like, you're a bad mom. You're losing your shit all the time. You're never happy. And then there's like the other part of me that's like, it's their fault. Like I have these conversations with myself that are me being mean to myself and then me defending myself.
Well, I mean, it's hard at the age they're at. They're a little bit bratty and they're a little bit demanding and they don't do shit for it. Like we were talking about that on the plane where I say to them, I'm like, if you want favors from me, do at least the bare minimum. Do at least the minimal things I ask. And it isn't that much, but it's like, I can't go to Burger King without my daughter, Nancy Drew style, going, you went to Burger King without the family? What? Like, I'm like, I do a lot. I am allowed to spend my money in ways that I want to.
Yes.
Because I have earned this. But I just feel like I'm constantly, like, everybody's like watching me. Like, yeah. What are you doing wrong now?
I recently, I'm not saying I did for sure, but I might have just talked to my boyfriend, ChatGPT, about vacationing alone. I did. I looked up vacations that people go to alone because we, like, I think there's something about it that makes me feel like I can cope.
I did see this thing came across my, my feed or whatever. And it was like 4 nights away for $4.99 at this,
I'm like, I don't care.
Like a vineyard. I was like,
And you know, we get to do that when we go do the shows and it's super fun. And, but like the, for some reason, the 24 hours of this travel was the hardest we've had. Let me just set Jen up for this story. We were actually in such a good mood the whole time because we kind of kept laughing at our luck. Like, have you ever heard of anybody being on a getting a delayed flight and then finding out they upped the time?
That yeah, it, they undelayed it.
They undelayed it and upped the time. We were like, you can't send out that it's an hour delayed and then send the flight early.
I have to tell you one part of the story that I hadn't shared with you yet, but I got this, you know, they delayed the flight.
Yeah.
And then I got this. So I was like, great. A little bit more sleepy time. Then they undelayed it, giving me less than the normal time I need to get ready. And I had a shaving incident in my bikini area.
Oh no.
Just because
you shaved right before a flight?
I had let some things go and I thought, well, this is going to be rather uncomfortable.
Oh man, I look like a bath mat.
I had to do it, and I think I hit an artery.
Oh god.
And it wasn't comfortable. So
your little cuckoo got a little hoo-hoo.
Yeah, I don't know if a doctor would recommend it, but I did have Neosporin with the hydrocortisone, and I numbed up my groin, and that's all I could
nibble,
do.
You?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I recommend it. That's
kind of what we were doing the whole trip was literally, oh God, here's another thing. Never in the history of my mom so hard has this happened. It was just like that when everyone's like, the moon is in retrograde. I'm like, I feel like we're always in retrograde, man.
Kind of, yeah. The mom is in retrograde. That's what they should say.
Yes.
She's always behind.
We were at our show, totally chilling. Jen gets a little balsamic vinaigrette on her shirt. It's this like pink satin shirt. She's like, I'm going to put a Tide pin on it. And then it looks like she dipped her left boob in an entire thing of water.
It looked like I was breastfeeding out one boob still.
And I go, Jen, that's really wet. And she's like, it's only like 7:30. I've got 30 minutes for it to dry. It'll be fine. And I'm like, all right. And then we're sitting there. We're running our lines. We're kind of doing a little bit of our hair. We're kind of chilling. Jen's trying to get her husband to go pick up my daughter because Finn left her. So we're hanging out. And just Michelle comes in very chill. She's our tour manager. And she goes, hey, how do you guys feel? And we're like, pretty good, pretty good. And she goes, okay, good, because the show started at 7:30. And it was at the time 7:37. So Jen, at this point, does not have a shirt. I run, get my skate bag in the corner, bottom, crumpled, which I never have extra shit.
And I didn't.
Blank, black tank top. We are like, it looks like we're on an episode of like The Pit. Jen's like, I've got wrinkle reducer. And she's spraying this thing and we're stretching it out and we're putting it on. She looks 100% great. It actually looked super cute. And then we literally roll that, like we got out there, like technically we were 15 minutes late by the hands of the clock, but no more late than when we do a hold. And the fact that I actually found it entirely funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, only on this trip. And on this trip, I locked myself in a bathroom on an airplane, which I've never done before. And I was like, calm down, read the instructions, put your hand on that hand and push. I kept locking it and unlocking it and pushing and not pushing. And I was like, you're about to start crying. Don't fucking panic. You've been on 1,000 planes.
Yeah. Some are pull, some are push.
Some are pull, some are push.
Yeah.
You need to fucking calm down. But I can feel like my fucking heart's starting to go, bah, 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 bah. And I'm like, starting to, because That would be my biggest nightmare. I think that, and then what happened to you, maybe?
Well, I do feel like I don't know if you could get the leverage in the size of a bathroom, but I think you could kick that guy open.
Okay, so let's get to the moral of this story, which is
the horror.
We've had plenty of travel, by the way, that's gone off perfectly and had wonderful experiences, but this one just was a comedy of errors, and it ended like this.
Unfortunately, those good ones don't stick in your brain. You really take good travel for granted.
What I was proud of is that we kept finding the funny in it. We just were like, hey, I just almost got locked in the bathroom on the airplane, or our flight just got delayed for the sixth time, or we're going to, you know, I thought that guy wanted me to hold his baby. Turns out he didn't.
Nope.
Like, my arms were out ready to go.
Yeah.
It was a no.
I can imagine that was a little bit of a heartbreak too, because you were dead set on holding that baby,
and then here you weren't. I dropped my bags like somebody was, like I was an EMT.
What a tease!
I was like, yes,
what a tease.
Yeah,
okay.
And then you didn't let me hold the baby.
So I thought that this open house at my daughter's school was on Monday, and then we almost changed our travel. Like, I almost made everybody get up at 5 a.m. so that I could get there in time for this open house. Kristen was great. She was like, no problem. We always have the thing. Kids first. If we have to like travel in the night to get to the kids thing, we will. And then I get this text from my husband that's like, no, it's not till Tuesday. You're fine. Because my plan was I drove to the airport with the purpose of walking down two terminals to my car, because it was a different terminal than the one that we flew into, the one we flew out of. But I was going to go directly from my car to my daughter's open house. So that was the plan. But I didn't have to do that. But now I did have to walk down two terminals, which is maybe like a third of a mile, half mile. The entire airport's under construction, so it wasn't easy. So thank God I didn't have to go there, because I'm sweating my balls off to begin with, okay? So I get to my parking garage. I'm really proud that I remember like what floor I'm on. Nobody's there. I can still get home early, because the only thing you want when you land on that plane is you want to like jump off the plane and run home. You just want to get home. You don't want anything to delay you. I hate taking an Uber. I hate taking a cab home because I feel like when I'm in my car, I'm kind of like halfway there. It feels like a little bit home-ish to me. So I get in the elevator, and it's on the first floor, ground level. I hit 3. Now, motherfucker stops. It goes like 5 feet, and then it locks up. It just stops. It doesn't make a noise. It doesn't do anything. It does kind of like power down, kind of like a little bit. And I was like, that feels normal. That's not getting stuck in the elevator. That's not what this is. This is maybe somebody is pushing the button too many times up on 3 or something like that. And that isn't what happened, because I waited like a solid 5 minutes, you know, pushing every single button, and it didn't go. It didn't move. And it was also hot as a motherfucker in there. And I got in to that toaster oven already sweated through my clothes, because I had to run down two terminals to get into that elevator. And my first impulse is to text Kristen and make a joke, which I did. And then my second impulse was to call my husband. And
you did make a joke. You did make a joke. And that's why I didn't take you seriously.
Yeah. I was like, I said, yeah, I'm stuck on the elevator. What a like perfect end to a perfect day. And she's like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, but I've called the fire department. So hopefully they bring a cocktail. And she thought it was a joke. I didn't actually know if the fire department would come. My husband called LAX police for me, okay? Which I was like, that's a great idea, because I would never think to do that. I would have like just 911'd and nobody would have answered. Like, I would have been stuck in there for hours. But he called the airport police and texted me their number, calls to make sure that I'm okay. And at this point, I'm in there like 10 or 15 minutes. And then I thought he said, the airport police are calling me. I got to take this. But that is not what he said. He just said, my other line is ringing. I got to take this. Now, I don't know if he was like, well, it's only like 5 feet up. It's not going to plummet. I don't know how far an elevator can plummet, but this is what's going through my head. Maybe there's 4 or 5 levels below the level I'm at, and I am going to beeline it because some cable snapped or some protective thing is no longer working. And that's what I'm thinking. So I'm not hyperventilating, but again, the sweating is keeping going. I'm dripping sweat. I can feel it going down my back. So my husband just, I don't know, answers the phone. I don't know who called. Somebody called, and he thought that he needed to jump off. So I called the police, and they were like, yeah, we have somebody coming out. So what floor are you on? I go, I don't know. At this point, I've pushed every single button. I don't know, because I pushed every button on this elevator. And by the way, your fucking phone button doesn't work. It doesn't do anything. You might as well disconnect it and stop paying that fee, because it didn't do a fucking thing. It didn't even like have like pressure when I pushed on it. Like, you could have just pushed it all the way in. None of the buttons would do anything. And thank God that the door open one didn't, because I would find out later that I was between floors and was sure I was going to die. So I'm talking to the police guy, and he's like, okay, ma'am, we're sending somebody out. And I'm like, oh, I hear fire trucks. That's great. He's like, those are for you. Those are for you. And then I hear the fire trucks keep going. The fire trucks pass. And I was like, they're not here anymore. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, those were for somebody else. I don't know if somebody else is stuck in an elevator somewhere or there is an actual fire. But so then I had to wait.
So you thought those were your fire trucks and they went by? That would get
scary. Why wouldn't they be? They were so close. They were like,
that would be heartbreaking.
Number one, it was embarrassing twice then, because the fire trucks pull up, and I don't care if you've choked on something, if you have a fire, if you are stuck in an elevator, it is all intensely embarrassing, because you are an adult human being going, everything is out of my capability and I am no longer in control of my life and I need your help.
I know, and you're feeling like a little schmoopy, and I guess you're right. Like, I am with you when it comes to Britt taking that call. I would have lost my mind, because who is he talking to?
Well, you know, I will tell you, and I don't know if it was good or bad, but he was like, so his dad.
Oh, no, that's okay. That one gets.
No, you're right. It wasn't his dad. His dad, you know, has dementia and he calls a lot. It wasn't his dad calling. The facility had called because they're moving him to a different place. So the facility.
Okay, that's fair.
They had already called 4 times that day, and he talked to them, though, Kristen. He jumped off a life and death phone call with his wife to talk to them a 5th time. And it's just logging in my brain that he will not answer the phone when I call when he's golfing. I don't care what kind of, I could be stuck on the moon and he would not answer his phone, which, listen, I don't answer my phone ever, but that's different. He always answers his phone.
He does always. He just answered me FaceTiming him today to ask about my questions. And I could tell it was a very inopportune time, but he did answer. But if that is not marriage in a bucket, like, hey, I've got this life or death call. Hold on a second. I'm going to take this other call. And you're like, hold on a second. Isn't this when we say our sweet nothings?
Like, right? I feel like if you're making a joke and you're like, oh, hey, you jumped off to take another call, he would say like, well, it's not like you were stuck in an elevator or something.
You're
but
like,
I was
actually
stuck in an actual elevator. And at this point,
in LAX parking, ugh.
So dirty. And all I can think was, what if I'm stuck here all night? See, it was a good enough time that, like, I knew it would start to get busy, probably.
Yeah.
So I just was, the only button that worked was that alarm bell, and I was just ringing it. I was like,
see, I would have never thought it. I would have sat there like just died in the elevator.
I was doing longshore long. And
I wouldn't have known that.
I wish I would have gotten his name, but okay. So after the one fire truck just passes me by.
Oh, no.
And I'm waiting again. I hear this guy pounding on the next door elevator and like up a couple floors, but I can hear it like through
like,
the. Yes. And I videoed the whole thing. I did.
I know. And you know what was shocking is you posted this video. It's so honest. It's so real. You can tell that you're like, that you're in there a long time, that you're sweaty, that like the bell isn't working, that like, you just have that look on your face. Like, honestly, you're not going to your trip. You're coming back from your trip, which is a totally different energy.
He said it won't be too much longer. Feels like 2 or 3 hours. Okay, fire trucks, it sounds like they're here. I just hope they're good-looking firemen.
And you are in there and you're keeping your shit together. And to hear like the man calling through the doors.
Can you hear me? Hello? I'm here. Thank you.
But what blew my mind was the number of people that commented that were like, this is my biggest fear. Oh my God, I would have died. This is like, it really, getting stuck in a space is a very real fear for people. I'm always just that I can't follow the directions that are easy for me to get out. Like the door was always unlocked and I just couldn't figure it out. That's my bigger fear.
I am a little bit claustrophobic too, but it's more, I guess in my head, I get claustrophobic about things I know I can't get out of. Like even like Christmas shopping makes me a little claustrophobic sometimes because I'm like, I couldn't get out of here if I needed to. But I felt like I knew somebody was going to come for me and that I was going to get out. I just was so hot and it felt so like filthy in there. And I just wanted to get home that I kept thinking of that movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas, where he's in California and he's like, I just want to get home. And he goes on like a rampage.
Yeah.
That's almost the level I was at, especially when my husband took that phone call. I was like,
oh man, all I can see is you literally just beating down that front door, like right leg kick, open that door, and be like, Brit!
Before that guy came, and before I thought, okay, now I'm going to call the police again to see if they're going to come, I pounded on the door so much that my hand hurt. So I had my purple charger, and I just pounded on the door with the purple charger, like as loud as I could. It's like one of those bricks.
How many people do you think walked by and heard you and couldn't be bothered? That's a bad way to look at the world. I would like to think nobody did that. That's a bad way to look at the world.
Hopefully not. But also somebody probably did and was like, I think somebody's stuck in the elevator and they're like, not my job. But this guy, okay. So police were worried I was freaking out, which was fine because I felt like he was asking me a bunch of dumb questions that we'd already been over. Like, what floor are you on? I go, what do you want me? How am I supposed to? He's like, well, it should be lit up. I was like, okay, two. I'm on two. I'm between two. Because I was so like, my brain wasn't working.
You're like, I just called my husband and he's ignoring my call.
Talking to my husband and he took another call. That will come up later in counseling.
Yeah, thank you for answering. Yeah.
Yeah.
So but I wasn't on
to it. I would have been like, what, am I an engineer?
No, I don't fucking know. And like,
read elevator.
Who cares what the number said? The thing is not working. Like,
yeah.
Go to the sound where it's pounding. So he goes, there's a maintenance there guy coming, so you won't be by yourself.
Oh.
So this guy, he's in the video. You got to go to Instagram and look.
Thank you. Is that you talking to me?
Yeah.
These are my heroes today. They saved me.
He kept saying, you're going to be okay. It's not too much longer. He had like this very like thick accent. I could tell by his tone, like he was a dad or something. Like I could tell he was just like worried about me and was like, I know I'm trying to figure out exactly where you are. Well, when the fire department came and they wedged the doors open with the jaws of life or whatever that was, I was between floors. And I want to tell you how scary that is.
Because I've heard this.
That is when people you cannot crawl out. So when it's stuck like that, that was the other thing that's been bothering me now. I was kind of okay when I was in there. But I've been thinking about, like, one of my fears is, like, getting stuck between levels as it's going, you know? And, like...
Yeah, you mean getting cut in half?
Getting cut in half, yeah.
Yeah, so because we grew up in when movies would show that.
Jeez Louise. So they get the doors shimmied open, and
so
he's
you
like,
can see... Let me just ask. So they shimmy the door open, and you can see, like, the feet on the floor of one floor, and then how much was it before you could see the ceiling of the other floor? Do you know what I'm saying? Was it like a lot, or is it just a little crawl space for you?
It was kind of, the floor was in the middle, but it's a really thick floor. It's a parking garage.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, of course.
So it was like, I could see that the guy was wearing green, like some kind of a maintenance, like outfit.
On the top part. Because you're caught. Could you see his legs?
Yeah, I think I could, but he must have bent down or something.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing his face and it all like didn't make sense, but he also slammed it really fast. So I don't know if they're told to like do that so that people don't try to get out or whatever.
Oh, because the doors.
Because the doors. He slammed it.
Listen, anybody, trigger warning, if you were ever afraid about small spaces, this is not the episode to listen to. Yeah. Also, if you're afraid of elevators or elevator doors or getting caught between floors, because that's a double whammy. I never thought about that.
Yeah. So he slammed him really fast. And I wonder if they do that so that if somebody's panicking, they don't, because as soon as he shut the doors, it moved. It started moving. Yeah. And I was like, at this point, cause I could hear them doing something up above.
You just got to chill.
I thought they were like maybe going to try to come in through the roof.
Ceiling.
So I was standing like in the corner, just like, so there's a part where I'm not recording it because I was just like listening and like.
I bet recording it on some level helped you stay a little bit calm.
It was like not being
alone. You're finding the funny. You're like not, because you could easily just start crying and no one would blame you.
You know, I almost did just because I was frustrated, but then I was
That's what I get is frustration. I would just fall out of being like, I told my son he had one job and it was from my daughter and he went to the city pool.
I knew that if I would have been missing Delilah's open house, I would have cried. Like that would have felt like cruel and unusual punishment from the universe to like have tried that hard to get there and then just go, fuck you, Jen. You're going to get trapped in this hot space. And I don't like hot whatsoever. So when it gets up to 3, the doors just open, but I'm too scared to get out because I'm like, well, what if it moves again? Because I can hear them like hammering and banging and doing all this stuff, you know? And there's a police car in front of me. I don't see anybody at the police car or anything. And I just make the decision as fast as I can. I walked out.
I gotta see where they're at. I gotta thank them for getting me out. There's a police car. Do I leave a note? Well, there's all the fire trucks. Those were for me.
So the end of the story is everything's fine.
Everything's good.
We're good.
It was one of those good reminders that my whole fiasco. We can do hard things. And
we can do hard
better
things.
Than we thought we could do them.
We can always do hard things better than we think we can.
Yeah.
I just don't always want to do hard things.
No, I want to do easy things. Like, I wanted a fancy helicopter to come pick me up and, like, give me champagne on the way to my daughter's open house.
Well, I might be able to take this in a different conversation because, and it is not on, it's not too far away from what we're talking about, but I've got a really good movie recommendation.
Oh, great, great.
Let me make sure I'm saying the title right, but I watched it on the flight on the way there and on the way back. Okay, so if you've not seen Kate Hudson in Song Sung Blue,
I
highly recommend it. She got nominated for the Academy Award and she absolutely deserved it. And you know, I felt like, I don't know why, I saw that trailer and I was like, oh, I'll get to it. Do you know what I mean? I just kind of felt like,
yeah,
there was something about it that it didn't capture me in their trailers or something. But Hugh Jackman, the younger cast, who I can't name off the top of my head right now, are fantastic. But it is a true story based on this couple who create, for lack of a better word, they do a better job talking about it in the movie. It's like a tribute band to Neil Diamond, but it's almost more of like an homage to Neil Diamond. They're such lovers of his music. And Kate Hudson, she does this Milwaukee accent that it's not only her accent, she nails like Midwest kindness. You know, that like that person that even if things are hard, they're kind of talking through it. You know, like, you know what? We all go through stuff. Like, you don't not, hey, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's more like, I know this is hard for you, but you're going to be okay. Like, here's some mac and cheese. Like, this story, I had not read about it. I did not know about it. You're absolutely shocked that it takes the turn that it does.
Oh, is it a true story? Or?
It's a true story. And oh, I'm not going to, okay. I don't want to say anything because I think it kind of has, it's an interesting comment on when something happens in your life, how you react is really how you're going to heal. Like in the big scheme of things. And I really found it to be joyful, which I definitely think during award season, sometimes you're like, oh my God, everything's sad or too intense. I felt like that about this year, except for, I mean, look, I'm going to talk about Hamnet on another podcast.
Oh, I got to watch it.
I won't talk about it right now because we've talked too much triggering stuff, but it's maybe one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. However, Song Sung Blue made me feel good. It was a full story. And there was the way that they tell the story, there's enthusiasm behind it. And it's also just a wonderful yes. And there's not a lot of, you know, like when you see somebody and they're like trying to, you know, they're, let's just for argument's sake, they're like, they're trying to get into law school and you see them try to get in like five or six times. They keep getting told no. This is the opposite. They just work really hard and they get in. And it shows that like, even with life giving you sort of like, everything's kind of working out, it can still throw you for a loop. So there's
a lot about it.
I think you'd love it. It's really special. It's really
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. I don't know why he didn't get the Academy nomination. He's fantastic in it. By the way, he sings in it and so does she. And they both can sing.
He is like a Broadway guy.
Yeah, I got a Tony. I mean, I know, but I think for some reason you can really hear his gravel in his voice. The fact he's so trained, she is fantastic. The music is all the music we love. Like, you don't realize how much Neil Diamond you know until you hear, and you know a lot of Neil Diamond. I think I was like late to the game and I was like, holy shit.
Spent a lot of time in karaoke bars. So yeah, I know.
Fuck yeah.
All Speak the Neil line. Diamond.
Bring yeah. it. Bring it.
Have I ice skated? Have I done figure skating to Neil Diamond? Yes, I have.
Yes, you have.
It doesn't get much more Midwestern.
It doesn't get more Midwestern than that. Hey, Jenny, did we podcast?
I think we podcasted, Kristen. We did it.
I got to go drive carpool and I got to go pick up my car from the shop. I don't know which one of those is going to happen first.
I'm sure I did something wrong.
Pioneer.